A man by the name of Robert Lacey wrote a best-selling biography of the car inventor Henry Ford. It was called Ford, The Man and the Machine. And in the book, he describes the love affair that Henry Ford had with his Model T. And he loved it so much, he never wanted to see a thing changed about it. Not one bolt, nothing could be done to improve his Model T. Well, it was only 4 years old at the time, but his production man, a guy by the name of William Knudsen, could see already that competitors were beginning to catch up and that changes needed to be made for them to maintain an edge. And so while Ford was on an extended trip overseas, Knudsen designed a newer version of the Model T, sporty for 1912, you know, but a kind of a low-slung, sleek-looking machine. And when Henry Ford got back and saw this, in his mind, this was a monstrous perversion of his machine. And there were some on-the-scene mechanics who witnessed what happened, and this is the way Robert Lacey described this. They said Ford had his hands in his pockets and he walked around that car three or four times. It was a four-door job and the top was down, and finally he got to the left-hand side of the car and he takes his hands out, gets a hold of the door, and bang, he ripped the door right off. How the man done it, I don't know. He jumped in there and bang goes the other door. Bang goes the windshield. He jumps over the back seat and starts pounding on the top. He rips the top with the heel of his shoe. He wrecked that car as much as he could. Well, Ford fired his production man, Knudsen, who went to work for General Motors. And he continued to nurse his beloved Model T along until finally the competitors were all over the market, and he was forced into making the Model A, but they said his heart was never in it. he never wanted to see a thing changed about his Model T. That is really pretty typical of humanity. We don't like change to begin with, but there's this thing in us that resists learning new things and embracing new things. The reality is life is one great big university, and every day there are going to be opportunities for us to learn and grow. It might be something unpleasant, something that we see in a relationship. It might be something we see at work. It might be a conversation we're having with other people. It might be something that we're being corrected for, a mistake that we made. But there's all of these learning opportunities. But like Ford, we tend to resist, whether it's pride or arrogance or just flat not willing to be teachable. The thing is, the day we stop learning and growing, something dies. God has so many things that he wants us to continue to learn. And the scriptures place a great deal of emphasis on being teachable. And so does the book of Proverbs. Over and over, we hear Solomon saying to his son, and the other writers saying, listen, heed my words, pay attention to this. It's all supposed to be a learning process. And so that's the subject that we're going to examine this morning from the book of Proverbs. I want to pray before we get any further into this. Lord, we come before you because you are the teacher, and we need to hear from you. And so help us to be teachable this morning. I pray for clarity as we come into a number of different Proverbs once again, and just help us to hear the things that you want us to hear. And I ask this and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some things that have to be true if we are going to be learners, if we're going to be teachable, there are certain characteristics that we have to adopt that have to be part of our lives. And I want to look at three of those this morning. It all starts with maturity. Being willing to learn requires a certain amount of maturity. And we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 13 today. And once again, we'll be looking at a number of different Proverbs because there's a number of different places that speak to this subject. But in chapter 13 and verse 1, we read this. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. So a wise son, and again, Proverbs is written, much of it is written, a father speaking to his son. And so it stands to reason that he would be addressing his son in so many different ways. But it's not just a father to a son that needs to listen to instruction. This is us all throughout life. We need to listen. We need to hear. And he says, a wise person hears instruction. A scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Now, it's interesting that so many of these things go hand in hand. And we've made a distinction all throughout this study. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is the accumulation of information, the accumulation of facts. Wisdom is knowing how to put that into practice. Wisdom is knowing how to use those things that we've learned. And you can be wise without being all that knowledgeable. Book learning does not necessarily make you wise. He's saying it takes a wise person to listen, a wise son, a wise daughter, a wise worker, a wise employer, a wise everything will listen to instruction. And this requires maturity. The immature, the scoffer, does not listen to rebuke. So again, wisdom and knowledge are different. But if we want to grow in our learning, it takes some of that wisdom, and it takes maturity. And maturity protects us from this know-it-all, this you can't teach me anything that some people just adopt and live throughout their lives. Wisdom and maturity protect us from that. It brings us to a place of saying, I can learn, I need to learn, I'm here to learn, and I will learn by God's grace. That takes a certain level of maturity. Hand in hand with that goes humility. Whoops. And in chapter 13, verse 10, we read this, by insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Now, some of your translations use the word pride there, and that's an accurate translation. English Standard Version, which I read from, uses the word insolence, which really defines this whole thing of pride. It shows this attitude is seen in the smirk. It's seen in the rolling of the eyes. It's seen in the facial expressions, in the posture of a person, that they will not listen. They will not hear. And with that comes strife. You know good and well when you're trying to communicate with someone and they may not be doing it out loud, but it's this na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na kind of stuff. You know what that does. And he says that comes nothing with strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. We need to know that something can be learned from anyone or anything at any time. Not long ago, I just happened across a little bit of an interview with some people that I really don't think have much credibility, to be honest with you. But there was a woman talking about who leads worship sometimes, and she was talking about when she was a younger woman and a young mom juggling all the balls that were in the air, and she found herself grumbling kind of and saying, well, time to take off the mom hat and put on the worship hat. And her father-in-law, again, I don't think he's a very credible person, but he said this, here's the problem, the worship hat should never come off. And I said, that is truth. That is truth. And it just hit me right then. You know, everything is to be done for the glory of God. We are to be 24/7 worshipers. And though it came from an unlikely place, it was this reminder, you can learn from anyone at any time. And that's something that the one who has the heart to learn, that humility has to be there. A few weeks ago, I shared about a mentor of mine, a man by the name of Pastor Carl Goltz, and how I'd had the privilege of sitting with him for several years on a board, and he'd been in ministry for decades. But I shared with you then, you could watch this man. He would physically lean in when someone else was talking. I mean, he would physically lean in. His eyes were locked. He was a lifelong learner, and what an example it was for a young, wet behind the ears, try to be preacher kind of a guy. We can learn and should learn all the time, even from criticism, and that's a little bit harder. It's certainly not original with me, but years and years and years ago, I heard someone say that in any criticism, there is probably at least a little bit of truth. So learn from it. Even if people have no intent in helping you through their criticism, there is something that can be learned. And that takes humility. It takes this willingness to lower ourselves, to submit to other people so that we can be taught. A third thing that is a requirement is a commitment. We've got to be committed to being a learner. And in chapter 19 of Proverbs, verse 27, again, warning his son, cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. If you come to that place where you will not hear anymore, where you will not learn anymore, where you just feel like you can set back, you have reached the top, there's nothing more that you need to do, you're going to begin to wander away. It's one of these things, if you're not moving forward, you're going to move back. If you cease to hear instruction, you're going to wander away from the words of knowledge. You've got to be committed to it, lifelong. And I pray that as long as I breathe, as long as I have any mental capability whatsoever, that there will be this desire to continue to study and grow and learn. So essential. Sir Isaac Newton, brilliant mind that he was, once wrote this about himself. He said, I was like a boy playing on the seashore and diverting myself now and then, finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell than ordinary, whilst the great ocean of truth lay all undiscovered before me. So with all of his discoveries, all of his brilliance, he said, you know, it's just there's so much more to learn. And he was committed to being a lifelong learner. So these are some requirements. If we're going to learn and grow and continue to be teachable, these things have to be true of us. Some maturity, some humility, and certainly a commitment to it. Now, the book of Proverbs typically gives us rewards and results. If you do this, you can pretty much expect this. If you don't do this, then there's going to be some other things. And so I want to look at some of the rewards and results, rewards of being teachable, results from not being teachable. I'll begin in chapter 5. There is regret, or there can be rest. In chapter 5, I'm going to start with verse 11. Now, the context of this, Solomon is warning his son about sexual immorality, about promiscuity, and the kinds of things that you can face as a result of that. But the application can be much broader than that. And he writes this, "At the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. And you say, how I hated discipline. My heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin." And so he's talking about coming to the end of your life, and there's just nothing but regret. There are physical things that are involved. There are spiritual things certainly that are involved. There is definitely an emotional toil. He says you come to the end of your life, and you just, your flesh and body are consumed. And you look back and you say, I just didn't listen. You know, I frequently hear guys my age or around my age say, man, I wish I would have taken care of myself when I was younger. But we're invincible then. And some of you that are younger, this is where you are. You're Superman. You know, we hear it all. Work smarter, not harder. Lift with your legs, not your back. You know, we hear all that stuff. I can do this. I can grab this. You know, we're invincible. And then there comes a day when we say, oh, man, everything hurts. I wish I would have taken care of myself when I was younger. And there's all of these things that can happen, but it goes deeper than that. The toll that disobedience takes on us is incredible. And Solomon's describing for his son, this is how it's going to be. You know, we hear it frequently said, nobody comes to the end of their life and say, I wish I would have spent more time at my job. I wish I would have spent more time away from my family. Nobody says that. It's kind of fascinating. Famous people get their last words recorded, and it's interesting to just Google that sometime, and you read some of the things that people said, and there's all of these, I wish, I wish, I wish. Instruction is there for a reason. And obeying it gives life. I referred to it multiple times, but when Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full, he will show us the better way. He will show us a way that leads to fulfillment and peace and joy and contentment. But disobedience, There's ruin. There's regret. Yesterday, I was on my way up to Box Butte for the guys' fishing day, and we were in the hills north of town here, and one of these no-passing zones, and here comes a rig zooming around me, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? No-passing zones are there for a reason. Well, all the motorcycles on the road, I mean, that it was nothing happened, but it could have. Not listening to instruction has devastating consequences. There can be regret or there can be a rest. When you come to the end of your life saying, it is well with my soul. Nobody will do it perfectly like Jesus did, but I look at what he prayed in John 17. And he said, Father, my work is done. I have done what you sent me here to do. Like, wow, that's great. That is what I would love to be able to say. I've done what you called me to do. The regret versus the rest. There is also learning versus estrangement. I was struggling to find good words here. Growth would probably be a better word for it. But I hope you'll see what I'm talking about here as we go. But in chapter 9, chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. He who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. And so there's the opportunity to learn, again, maybe better, just continued growth, versus alienating yourself from other people. He describes here, you correct a scoffer and they will turn on you. You reprove a wicked person and they will come after you. You reprove them, they might hate you. And you see that sometimes in relationships and people when you're trying to help someone along the way. If they don't have a mind to listen and learn, they're just going to resent you for it. And so you alienate yourself. Nobody likes to be around that, not long term. People will not choose to be around a person like that. That's what I mean by the word estrangement. But the other opportunity is to continue to learn and grow and develop and mature as God had intended that we should. Results and rewards. And then we can see life versus aimlessness. And if you'd look at chapter 10 and verse 17. Now, as I am prone to say, a lot of these things overlap. And these things do overlap with one another. But chapter 10, verse 17. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life. But he who rejects reproof leads others astray. If you say something loud enough and enough times, some are going to follow you. That's just the way human personalities are. But the picture here is you will lead them towards a cliff. And eventually people are going to realize that going off this cliff is not a good thing. But there's this aimlessness. You know, I don't get so much of what we see in the news here. Some of these protests, I don't get standing in front of traffic to try to protest something. I don't get that. And you're beginning to see people saying enough is enough, and they're going through, you know. Something's going to get hurt as a result of that. I don't get gluing yourself to a sidewalk or a street. I just don't get it. But there's an aimlessness that comes with refusing to learn. And I mentioned last week, some people that get elected, they ought not be there. And every time they speak, you realize it again. You wonder, why doesn't everybody see this? But on the other hand, following what God has said, following instruction, being willing to learn and grow, again, brings us to that life. That peace and joy and fulfillment. There is honor versus disgrace. In chapter 13, in verse 18, says it just like that. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. This one resonated with me probably more than any of the others for some reason. I have personally seen both sides of this. And for whatever reason, an incident that happened so many decades ago came to mind. I was, as a young person, was working for a rancher. And my job that day was to go out and drag meadows. If you're not familiar, when cows hang out place, they leave deposits behind. All right, and so some people will drag some kind of a drag, pull something over to break up those cow pies and spread out the good fertilizer that's there. Well, that was what I was supposed to do that day. The guy specifically, he dropped me off of the tractor. He specifically said, now be careful not to turn too short. When you turn around, you get the cable wrapped around the tire. I hadn't been doing it very long. I turned too sharp. Got the cable wrapped around the tire. If I'd had some tools, I could have fixed it and eliminated some embarrassment, but I had nothing, so I had to walk back to the place and embarrassed and disgraced and lost the job. You know, he said it specifically, gave this specific instruction. I just was not careful to understand or to pay attention. But then on the other hand, I've had those opportunities too. Even when it stung to accept some rebuke, to accept some correction, and seen some honor come from it. So there's this choice. There's honor or disgrace. You listen to instruction. You respond to it. You've got that. If you disobey, then you're going to have some disgrace. And then inviting versus repelling. In chapter 16, and once again, you've seen some of this in some of the Proverbs that we've seen before. Chapter 16, verse 23. I want to actually back up to verse 21 to get a running start at this. The wise of heart is called discerning. The sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. So a heavy emphasis on the way our conversation is going to benefit from being teachable. But the sweetness that he talks about, there's just a different way that we have the opportunity to communicate if we are teachable. The sweetness of speech, and then he mentions persuasiveness. Now in verse 23, which was kind of my focal point here, the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious or sensible. We don't have to just rattle on for an hour and never say anything. It will make sense. And he says it'll make you persuasive. And that invites people in. Somebody that, again, rolls their eyes and makes every indication that they're done with the conversation, that's not attractive. Nobody wants to be around that. But if you listen to people, and if what you say makes sense, that's going to invite people in. The alternative to that is the repelling. And he made the comment here in verse 22 that the instruction of fools is folly. So it's like, you know, a fool's going to be a fool. And we talked about this all of last week, the fact that the fool, as the Bible defines it, is one who is morally and spiritually deficient. It's not a mental deficiency. And this kind of speech is just going to be emptiness. It's going to be foolishness. And once again, sooner or later, most people are going to say, you know what, that doesn't make any sense at all. And so there's this inviting people in or repelling them as a result or a consequence. And this is just a sampling, really, of what the book of Proverbs has to say about it. But the importance of being teachable. It will require maturity, humility, commitment, and there's lots of rewards. And lots of results if we refuse to do that. Now, it should be pretty obvious to see that the opposites of teachableness are things like arrogance and pride and immaturity, stubbornness, even laziness. And we've got to guard against being gullible. Just because someone says something loud and long doesn't mean that they are to be listened to. We're not to be gullible, but we are to be teachable. And this will affect everything that we do in life. It'll affect every single one of our relationships. Your marriage will be better. Your relationship with your parents will be better. Your relationship with your kids will be better. Your work situation will be better. It will affect every single relationship in our lives. So let's work on this art of being teachable. And I hope God impresses on each of us how truly important that it is. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that you have given us what we need. Peter told us everything that we need for life and godliness. So you're the one that we need to listen to, first of all. But Lord, may we maintain this attitude that it doesn't matter who it is. There are things that you want to speak into our lives if we're just willing to listen and learn. I come to the end of some of these proverbs that we discuss, and I'm just not sure what you might want to do with it, but I am convinced that you want to do something. So once again, I ask you to help us all to be teachable and speak your goodness into our lives as we seek to live for you. I pray this now in Jesus' powerful and matchless name. Amen.